T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out!
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. We're going to get to all the lines here in just a second. Big Smooth, Artolo, Rich. We're going to get to everybody as we talk about the Warriors offseason here.
Monte.
What's up?
I got a text.
Uh-oh.
James Velasquez, who hit a triple last night at Kimball Park, says he does care about you.
Oh, man.
He taps in every day.
Hey,
he's on his way
James.
To school. I wanted him to
what's
call
school?
Him the warm line.
What school?
I don't know what school he goes to.
Shout out to James. Triple at Kimball Park's not easy.
Yeah.
You guys were in the hood yesterday.
Dude, what are you talking about? It was super nice. It was
no, I'm
great.
Saying Kimball Park's in the middle of Fillmore. You know, you walk across
believe
the
me, I'm well aware, but it's a turf field that's yeah. busy all
oh,
day.
Oh, I know. I know the field is great, yeah. but I'm saying you're still
20
in the
years
hood.
Ago, I was actually talking with a dad. I was like, 20 years ago, you would not see this many people and families hanging out at the park. But
trust me, I know.
They've done a great job there. We played Cathedral, and a guy who's going to join us at some point, his son was on the other team.
How'd his son do?
Dave Fleming. His son did really well. His son's a good player. He's a great third baseman.
Wow.
A couple big hits. We ended up in classic fashion.
Wow.
We tied. We ran out of time. The sun was coming down and it was very cold and windy and we wanted to get out of there. Well, the umpires wanted to get out of there.
Okay.
Shout out Cathedral.
Shout out to James Velasquez getting the triple there. I appreciate that. That's pretty cool, man.
I was
how old
very
is
happy
James?
For him.
How old is James?
James probably 12 or 13.
12 years 12. Old? Wow. 12 years old. Yeah. Triple? He's got
been,
speed?
He's been with us for a couple of years.
Was he at the practice? How was that?
Yeah, he's got long hair. It's like
oh yeah, big
game.
Yeah. Big James.
Really hard.
I like James.
He's
man. That's
got
my
a closer's
guy.
Mentality.
Yeah, no, I like James.
He wears Jordans, the Concord Jordans, every single day at practice.
No, that's really cool.
He's your kind of player.
No, he is my kind of player. Shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. James Velasquez, man, triple, man. I never hit a triple. If you are going to call into the roast, you better bring it because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. Shout out to YouTube and Twitch. It's a late one, late flux. Shout out to YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal first class money market today. You can now download the Odyssey app directly from our YouTube and Twitch pages. As we have added the QR code on both pages, the Xfinity Mobile text line. Let's do this. Shameless shout out to 845 today. Shameless shout out to 845. Did that work for you, Lubman?
Yeah, because there's a guy in the 408, Carlos, who wants us to shout out his birthday.
I need to shout out my little brother, too, Brioni. Brioni Hill. It's his birthday today as well.
Oh, happy birthday.
He's working with our boy, Dwayne Dibbs. He's now a Bart operator.
No way.
He's been with Bart. Yeah, he went through the training
very
with Bart.
Cool.
He's working with Bart, formerly of AC Transit. So I'm proud of Mook Dog. Mook. Call him Mook, too.
Oh.
Not Javon Kinlaw, but
I was going to say, does the Instagram have a squirrel in it?
No, it doesn't. Mook Dog, congrats getting the contract with the New York Jets. Real quick, you asked me, because I do want to get to the Draymond
sound. Yeah.
You asked me, when did it flip on Klay Thompson in terms of, like, not going to say the hatred, but, like, the harsh criticism of Klay Thompson.
The zero tolerance.
You know when it started?
Huh.
The championship season, when he came back.
Really?
Because the Warriors were playing so well. And he came back, and he wasn't clicking all cylinders when he came back. Remember, he missed over 2 years of basketball. Jordan Poole was rolling. And we're all having pool parties. And there was a segment of fans. I remember we were getting into it. Poole should start. And the fact that Klay came back and started, and Poole went back to the bench despite playing well, I think a lot of fans are like, look, man, we love Klay, but Poole's the future. Poole's this, Poole's that. And I think that was the start of it. Now, Klay played well. He played well down the stretch.
That's really
but I remember having conversations with you specifically about Jordan Poole. And we had this conversation. I said, you know, if Steve Kerr would have just came out, because Anthony Slater asked the question, you know, when Klay comes back, is he going to start?
Yeah.
And Steve Kerr said, no question, he's starting. Now, if Steve Kerr said, hey, we're going to play it by ear, we're going to see, we're going to fill it out, we're going to bring, how can you bring Klay off the bench? I get it. It may damage his confidence. Who knows? Who the hell knows what would have happened? But that was, to me, the start of it. I could be wrong there, but no, I vividly remember when Jordan Poole was rolling and we were having a conversation. I remember you sent the text like, all right, so we know Poole and Curry are closing. Who else? It's like, wait, you don't think Klay Thompson's going to be part of the Remember we had Bob Myers on and he laughed about it. He laughed about it. He's like, oh, Ponce, don't be so harsh on him, but yeah, Klay's going to be in the Final Five. But I felt like that was the start of it. Was when Jordan Poole was rolling and the Warriors were rolling and Klay came back and there were some hairy moments in the second half of the season, although Draymond was out with the back injury and Steph Curry with the calf that he suffered against the Boston Celtics. That to me was maybe the start of it, to answer that question, because I was thinking about it during the break. I was like, oh, well, Jordan Poole will start. Because I remember it.
Yeah.
People were like, look, JP's rolling. Why are you bringing him to the bench?
Yeah, I feel like it's been a slow drumbeat for a while. And I can't pinpoint a specific thing. But when they were on the road and the shot selection, this is last year, the shot selection was just all over the place. And then you could just see the body language frustration from him, which felt very new because obviously the guy hasn't struggled much in his career. And I'm watching the body language, and I feel like we've been, as a fan base, hyper-focused on the body language of Klay Thompson more recently. But I thought it started maybe then. But you know, bringing that up, I hadn't thought of that.
Remember that, though?
You're right.
Remember that, though? We were having discussions about Poole starting. And then he went to the bench, but he played well. I thought Poole played well in his first ever postseason. He averaged over 17. And yeah, he had some struggles, but it was his first ever postseason. And he had some dynamic games. We all forget Memphis game one when Draymond got ejected. Jordan Poole dropped 31 in that game.
Yeah, I always had this template of what I thought Klay Thompson was. And he's matured a lot. He's changed. I mean, to go from 23 to 33, you're going to change a lot. I did. From 33 to 43, I'm about to change a lot, you know? And so I thought he was more aloof and didn't care and just didn't, like, above all the fray. And then now it's like, nah, he really, really, really cares.
He does care.
And lives and dies with each shot. And you could feel the emotion weighing on him at times. And I think he's really hard on himself. And there's a lot of guys that I know that I coach, younger, that I coach that are really too hard. And I tell them, like, you're too hard on yourself. You have to accept the failures. They're going to happen. The amount of times I tell a kid, Willie Mays batted 302 career lifetime. And you think you should be on base 10 out of 10 times? Like, that's not reality. And I feel like there's times where Klay Thompson really feels like every shot he puts up should go in, and he's too hard on himself. And I think it wears on him.
It does. And you know what? I get it. I get it. I do get it. But Klay, it's going to be a topic of conversation. What happens with him? Let's get to the Lions real quick before we play to Steve Kerr. Shout out Draymond Green. Because that's when I was just thinking, when did it start? Because Klay was so lovable. And then all of a sudden he comes back from injury, and all of a sudden we're nitpicking every little thing that he does. Var from San Diego. Var, what's happening?
How y'all doing, gentlemen?
What's up, Var?
I actually was supposed to be in New Orleans today for this Warriors game, hypothetically. This is my 21st that I had everything lined up.
Oh, happy birthday.
Getting ready to pull up. Thank you. But I was just listening to you guys' conversation about Draymond Green and Klay. And my thing about those two is, I think the main goal of this franchise is to maximize the abilities of Steph Curry. I don't think this franchise has had a player like Steph. I don't think there'll be another one to come after Steph to give us the production that he has given us. So as long as he is wearing the number 30 with the Golden State logo on his chest, I think the Warriors should maximize everything that he has. And also, well, I mean, we all love Klay and Dre, but the inconsistencies that those two have given us is very, very telling. But coming with that, I think Klay's skills are more replaceable than Draymond's. And we can find someone in the open market that can give us shooting, not as good as Klay's in his prime, but he can also defend the best player. I think part of the reason why Klay has struggled is in his prime, in his physical prime, he could shoot with the best of them, and he can also defend the best players, and I don't think he can do that anymore. So I just think that keeping Klay isn't the right option for this franchise, and also going on a full-blown rebuild isn't also the best either.
All right. Good take. Let's get to Tolo from Columbus, Ohio, real quick. Then we'll get to Rich from Hayward. Big Smooth. We're going to get to everybody, and we'll play this curse out after Rich from Hayward. Tolo from Columbus, Ohio. What's happening?
I'm great, boss. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, so I just got a couple of things that I want to talk about. I just feel like we've been on a decline ever since Joe Lacob came out and said that we're light years ahead, right? From that point on, it seems like it's been a steady.
I think they've won like two or three championships since. He said that.
I was just going to say that. I think they've won three since then.
Yeah.
I know. But it's just that there's something about being pompous. And I honestly, guys, at this point, it's very tough for me to watch this team. It's really sad. Like, matter of fact, I stopped watching. It's just so sad. Okay, a couple of things, right? Wiggins, I believe that Wiggins is better than where we're giving him credit for. Okay, when Wiggins came to our team, Steph Curry was better, Klay was better, Draymond was better, the whole team was better. From that point on, everybody has declined. But for some reason, we're putting everything on Wiggins. I don't think that's fair. Okay, now, Kerr. Steve Kerr has been horrible. His coaching, his rotation.
I got a flush, Tolo. I love you. I love, you know. I want to come to Columbus one day, go to the Horseshoe, watch Michigan and Ohio State. I do want to get to Columbus. I want to go to the Horseshoe. That's on my bucket list. But I got to flush it, man. Steve Kerr's been horrible. You said Joe Lacob ever since he said the light years comet. They won three championships since then.
It was 2016 he said that.
Yeah, they won three championships since then.
I believe to the New York Times.
Yeah, and it may have been before they signed Kevin Durant or after. Because if they signed him after, then it's really valid. Yeah, we are like years ahead of everybody.
I think he said it right before.
And they signed Kevin Durant. By the way, that was that flush was brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. Shout out to Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you don't bring it, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. All right.
You
ready
Poor
to chill
guy.
For 5 minutes? Should we take one more? Let's take Richard. We got Richard Hayward, and then we'll play to Steve Kerr. I know I've been teasing it. We're going to get to it. Let's get
to
Richard Hayward.
Off.
Rich.
Hey, guys. Hey, I love the show. I think the Warriors, we're going to make a comeback next year. I believe in the four guys, you know, that TJD, Pods, Kuminga, and I think Moody. I think they're going to have a big jump next year. And, you know, and if they bring back Klay, great. You know, just I don't think he'll be at the 43. I think he'll probably be at 25, 26. But that's my take on it. I think that Kerr did a better job this year managing the young people and how he got Klay to come off the bench. I didn't expect that. So, but they kind of fit and they play together pretty well, especially TJD and Pods with Klay.
Yeah,
and that's the main thing I had to say.
All right, I wonder what the tweaks are for the Warriors if they do bring back the big three. What are the tweaks? But here's Steve Kerr yesterday, his end of season presser, and I appreciate Steve Kerr. He answered every question. He had a long answer about Moses Moody, what he needs to do to get better. Something we'll touch on. Jonathan Kuminga as well. But here's what Steve Kerr, 5 minutes. Hang tight, everybody. Steve Kerr on Draymond Green.
It's a good question. I mean, I have so much faith in Draymond because I know him so well as a human being. He's flawed. You know, we're all flawed, but he would be the first to tell you he's probably more flawed than the rest of us, right? I mean, he's the one who's had these transgressions, you know, not the other guys. It's been him. And he would be the first to tell you that. But he's one of the most loyal people I've ever met. He's one of the most competitive. He's one of the smartest players I've ever been around. And yet he makes these decisions that hurt the team that aren't smart. So how do you reconcile all that? It's really difficult. You know, the number one thing I would say is if we decided he wasn't worth it, you know, then we would have moved off of him years ago. But he's worth it, and he's worth it not only because of the banners that are hanging out there, but because he really is a wonderful human being. He is somebody who I love deeply, who I care for, and in some ways I love him because of his flaws, because he's so human. What happened over the last year was it went from maybe him yelling at me and us getting into a tiff, or him getting ejected, or him, you know, running up his technicals or getting a flagrant foul, to, oh, wait a second, it turned violent. You know, he punched Jordan. You know, he grabbed Rudy Gobert by the neck. He flailed at Nurk. Like, that stuff, that is just by, you know, basic laws of society, basic norms, like, you can't do that, right? So at that point, I, you know, when the league suspended him, it was the best thing to happen to Draymond. His career was on the line, and it is on the line every day. So, you know, as someone who loves Draymond and values him so much, I am going to continue to help him any way that I can to live his best life, to be the best version of himself, which he really was for the last 2 months. And I'll be really honest, like, during the suspension, I was sitting there like, can he actually get a few sessions of therapy and change? I don't think that's possible. But whatever he did over the last 3 months, he was the best version of himself, not just on the court, in the locker room, leading the young guys. His teammates would all tell you how great he was. He had the ejection in Orlando, which became a national story. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just because I understand him so well. I didn't mind the ejection. I mean, yeah, it was bad timing, but if you want to embrace the fact that Draymond is this insane competitor who is just going to play with so much emotion and passion, which makes our team so much better, then you kind of have to accept, all right, he's going to get kicked out a few games a year. That's my approach. The other stuff can't happen. You know, the physical acts, that will cost him his career, not only in the NBA, but beyond the next career. And he knows that. And so, that's, you know, Draymond's complex. His relationship with our franchise is complex, but at the core of it is a deep loyalty and passion and love, and we share that with him. And that's really tricky to reconcile. So you almost don't even try to reconcile it. You help him through it, and you make sure he's the best version of himself, and you keep pushing. And then you say something's unforgivable, and then you forgive him for it. I mean, let's be honest. But I think he did cross a line with the stuff that happened early in the season, and he knows it. And his, you know, the rest of his career, he knows the league won't allow him to cross it. We won't let him allow him to cross that line again, because that was different. I think that's my, you know, my main point. He can yell at me all he wants, you know. He can get ejected, he can get technicals. But that's where it has to stop. And the last 3 months, he was his best self.
That was Steve Kerr yesterday on Draymond Green. And the question was, and yet you forgave him. I mean, are you confident that he's going to be a changed person navigating going forward? I mean, or do you think you could not have him for several games again? Is that just part of the deal? That was the question. Because, look, he missed 27 games this year. 18 was due to the suspension. You know, the Gobert incident, the Nurkic incident. We know what happened last season with the team. Hell, we know what happened up in Sacramento. He got suspended during the playoff series. Hell, first round. You know, game two against Domantas Sabonis, whether you like it or not. He got popped for it. And he went full WWE against the Sacramento Kings fan base in front of Adam Silver and Joe Dumars. But they need Draymond Green. If they want to be serious about contending, they need Draymond Green on the floor. That's Steve on Draymond Green. We're all flawed. He's not lying about that. We're all flawed. But boy, the patience with Draymond Green and his fan base, I could see it. I could just feel it where it did. I could feel it where it did. Hell, some people have already said, enough's enough. Move on. I know how you feel, Shask. I can just tell by the way you're looking at me.
I mean, like, I'm just trying to think of, like, a recent comp that even comes close. Like, Dre Greenlaw would get some pretty bad personal fouls in rough spots. But he never was a guy that broke up the team chemistry in the locker room and was never a guy shouting at other coaches and needed to be managed that much. I'm just asking, like, if you're running any kind of team, business, whatever, like, you're exerting a lot of energy on stuff that has nothing to do with playing basketball.
Yeah.
I am exhausted hearing him do the mental gymnastics to explain what I deem to be like enabler behavior
right.
from a variety of levels, the front office, the coaching staff, and other players. And to me, it's absurd. I mean, it's just absurd. I feel like because the guy's done a lot of things on the court to help you win in years past, we look past a lot of things that shouldn't be looked past. And everyone has their own compass on what they deem to be too much. I've been tapped out and I'm exhausted. I get, you know, looking the other way. I mean, you said like, oh, he's changed so much, except for that game in Orlando. Dog, every game matters. We can accept a couple of suspensions. You couldn't this year. Two games was the difference between being in the 10 seed and not. So for the longest time, we've been running this race of tolerance over the talent, meaning I will overlook all of the BS because your talent overweighs all of the negative. Mm-hmm. I think we're beyond that point. Mm. And the scales have tipped in the other way, and I'm over it. Yeah. I think the jig is up. And that's I just throw my hands up like, all right, y'all want to keep doing this? Fine. I'm good. And how many more of these things do we need to have happen? I don't know. And I'm kind of like, to keep it fully 100, I'm kind of rolling my eyes at Steph and everybody. Like, come on, guys. You'd say you just want to win and you just want to play basketball. Did you really want to sign up for all this other stuff? Because I don't, as a fan.
Well, I don't think Steph did. You saw him visibly crying in Orlando.
I know, I'd like to see them put their foot down.
Yeah, well, the only way you do that is by shifting them out. And I don't know if they're going to do that.
Because he does value. But
you know what, though? If they're winning, they're likable. If they're winning, we're all on board. You know what? Here's the cold, harsh reality. Despite all that, they won a lot of games with Draymond Green this past year. 60% of the games he played, they won.
But does dignity matter?
I'm presenting the entire argument here and how they're thinking and how they're viewing it. And you can't lie, man. Like, I can't lie. I'm watching the games in and out. We're watching it back and forth. We're watching it with players. His defense on Zion Williamson, damn. Wow. This guy is still an elite defender. But you do have to play a certain type of brand of basketball with him. Now, the suspensions, that bothers me. And I said this, I've been consistent with this all season long. I was disappointed because he told us all it was the most important season of his career. And he got suspended twice. And we got Steve Kerr saying what he said yesterday in the end-of-season presser. This was the most important season of his career. And all those games that he missed. And I'm looking at the standings right now where they're 46-36. And they had the sixth best road record in franchise history since they moved to the Bay Area. And I'm thinking to myself, damn, he was popped for 18 games. You finished 3 games behind the Phoenix Suns for the sixth spot. You finished 4 games behind the Dallas Mavericks in the fifth spot. That's how important Draymond Green is. He's so impactful, he could flip 4 games. And that's why I'm disappointed. You know what I'm saying? And here we are again going through another offseason saying, what do we do with Draymond Green? It's kind of like the Jimmy Garoppolo offseason.
Yeah,
and Jimmy's not even half the player Draymond is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Draymond's walking into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And how many times did we go crazy over, oh, man, another quarterback conversation, another quarterback, another offseason full of quarterback talk? Well, now we're heading into another offseason of what's going to be, who's Draymond Green going to be on the floor next year? Is he going to be available for All Elite 2? Is his back going to hold up?
Does anyone think he's not going to get suspended next year?
That's the thing.
Does anyone?
That's the thing, man.
And
that's,
he's told you defiantly he's not going to change and over again.
And like he impacts winning, but then, you know, you look, yeah, you're 4 games behind the 5 spot. But now you're in a 10 spot, not even participating in the playoffs.
Well, and here's the other, like, and this, no one wants to have this conversation. He's a one-way player that you're paying $25 million a year for 3 more years on.
Exactly.
And that's a gross overpay, given where you're at in the luxury tax and everything else. Like, I'm sorry, he just is. There's not many people.
Right.
Everybody laughs at the Gobert contract. Everybody laughs at the Gobert contract. Well, if you step outside of the Bay Area, a lot of people laugh at the Draymond Green contract.
Yeah, they do.
Absolutely.
And no one wants to have that conversation. Because what people want to say is, you don't win championships without him. Yeah, but I'm not winning championships currently with him. And I don't forecast us winning championships with him at that price point moving forward. And that's the calculation that I'm making if I'm running the team.
No doubt. I hear you. Well said. Well said. All right, Dave Fleming, 920.
You were closer to the Rockets than you were one of the contending teams.
But you're also 4 games behind the Mavericks. Like, that. Like as much as we want to say, hey, you're closer to the Houston Rockets, you're actually closer to the Mavericks.
But this,
the Rockets finished 5-8. No, but I'm not saying they don't need change. I'm not saying they need change, but this is the reality, Shasky.
You were one win away from getting to the Western Conference
Finals. I don't disagree with that. They moved off from Poole, and, you know, for whatever reason, you actually won 2 more games than last year, and you rectified the issues on the road. That happened. So you're actually closer to the Mavericks than you are the Rockets. You actually played all these, but you didn't win these close games.
But when you played the Mavericks, you were outclassed.
You were outclassed 3 out of 4 games.
I mean, they didn't even
But they didn't play Wiggins or Kuminga either. It works on both sides. I get Luka's an MVP.
Might not be here next year.
But you gotta. There's contest to everything. The Dre deal may turn out to be terrible. And you're right. That's why I have a problem when people say, "Well, Clay should only take 15." You think Clay's going to take 15 with what you just said? Draymond's a one-way player. Well, how does Clay feel? He gets buckets. Wiggins, what was he? He's getting 25. And we want Clay to take 15? That's the whole argument. You kind of made my whole argument about Clay. Because Draymond's getting 25. You don't think Clay's like, well, I'm just as important.
Ponte, make sure you don't miss that break, bro.
All right, we're taking the calls on the other side. We get the call out of the week as well. That's all coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us, and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Vontae and Shasky.
All right, we got shameless shout-outs in. We're going to do it in 15 minutes. We got Call of the Week. We'll do that in the 9 o'clock hour. We got You Don't Know Jack. We got all this stuff coming up here. But we've been about the fans. We've been about you, the listener, as we describe or discuss the Warriors offseason. A lot of sound there. You just heard from Steve Kerr and Draymond Green. A lot going on here. A lot going on here with the Golden State Warriors. What will they do this offseason? Let's get to the Lions, Shasky. Let's get to them. Let's get to Big Smooth in Oakland. He's been a hold the longest. Then we'll get Dave, P. Cooks, and then your favorite, BPA. Big Smooth, what's up, baby?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. So listen, man, I went through the stages of grief, through the loss. Time to kind of collect my thoughts here. And I will say this. You know, I think what Steve Kerr said is correct. It's value in letting these guys walk out of the sunset together. They've earned it. If we be honest as fans, they've earned it. But many fans, they don't remember the lean years. And to me, it's kind of interesting that we think we've got to win a chip every year. It's not going to happen. It's not easy. Not easy to do. So what I would say is bring them back and then trust Joe Lacob. One thing I can say about Joe Lacob, when he promised another banner besides that lone Rick Barry banner, everybody kind of rolled their eyes. When he traded Monte Ellis, everybody was booing. Let's go back to that. I trust Joe Lacob. I think this is a man, you know, what he does for a living, he's got the stones to pull off getting somebody like Paul George in here, getting somebody in here, Lauri Markkanen. I know we don't think for a moment that he's going to stand pat. And
can I ask you, Big Smooth? I'm going to stop you. You really think, let's say, Dre and Clay and Steph and Lauri Markkanen, that's getting it done?
No.
We'll have Big Smooth. Big Smooth, call back.
Do you?
What? Do I what? Trust Joe Lacob?
No. Do you think, like, because I've heard that a few times. What, that? Go get Lauri Markkanen.
Oh, no, Lauri Markkanen. I think when people say Lauri Markkanen, it's cold for I don't really watch basketball.
Why do you say
this
that?
This past year for Lauri Markkanen, I saw a big who just sat on a three-point line. And when it came down to playing against other bigs, he got dominated. Dominated. He's a nice player. He's a nice player.
But is he the difference between the 10 seed and the four or five?
But the difference is, if Draymond doesn't get suspended, maybe they are a four or five seed. And maybe we are looking at this thing differently. But we're going to be a year older, and we don't know how these playoffs would have played out. But those are, like, we missed 27 games from one of our key cogs.
I mean, but then you got 77 out of Clay, and you got 72 out of Curry.
And you missed,
I don't know if you could bank on that.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. You don't make the playoffs. You lose, you know, Draymond for injuries and the suspensions and all that stuff. But you missed 27 games with him. And that could be the difference between being a 10 seed and a 5 seed in the Western Conference. The proof is in the pudding. However, going into next season, if they did make the playoffs, that's more wear and tear. Maybe they don't get past the first round. Who the heck knows? They all believe they can make a run. We don't know. But now you're older with a lot more question marks, and you got free agents, and it's a tough situation to be in for the Golden State Warriors.
Here's another thing I just don't subscribe to. You got to let them go out on their own terms. What if their own terms are a little unreasonable, whether it be financial or the amount of years? Like, for example, Brandon Crawford, and I look at him as a good example. Brandon Crawford was a great Giant. The Giants probably gave him one contract too many. And it felt like he was at the end. And then he wanted to keep playing. And they understood that if they bring him back, that A, he's not good enough to be playing right. all that time. And when they want to turn the page to Marco Luciano at some point, right. like that's going to be its own thing. And it's going to be very difficult to manage. And Luciano's going to be looking over his shoulder. There's always going to be the tug right. and pull of playing Crawford. Like, have you even thought about shortstop with the Giants all year?
No.
Not really. You know, like Nick Ahmed. And Nick Ahmed's been better than what Crawford was last year. Yeah. It's not saying so much, but he has, like early on. And I feel like, let's just say hypothetically, like, oh, Draymond 3 years from now wants another 2-year deal. And he wants $25 million.
Well, Draymond might be closer to retirement. He did say that during the suspension that he was closer to retiring. Yeah, so Adam Silver that.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like,
but I hear
your,
that.
Your ask is a little unreasonable. Now, I'm not saying that.
Well, he got the deal. He has 3 years left for $77 million with the player option attached to that.
I don't like it.
So he's got his money. He's got his deal. Let's go to David Fresno. Dave, what's happening?
Good morning, fellas. Good morning. Morning.
Good morning.
Good
morning, Dave.
Good morning,
morning
fellas.
Dave.
Hey, I've been listening all week, man. I hear all the talk, and I think it's all kind of a moot point when it comes to, like, oh, did it bring back Clay and how much, and Draymond, the core, like, all that's a moot point, because if the goal is to win the championship and go forward with Steph Curry, until they find a consistent second player, second scorer, also caliber player, all this talk about trying to win is a moot point. You can bring back Clay, you can bring back Iguodala, you can bring back Livers. It don't matter. You can bring back the whole game. Until you find somebody to help take the load off Steph Curry, none of this will matter, whether you bring back Clay or not. Now, how you do that, I don't know. Do you go forward with Kuminga? Do you give him the keys? I don't know. Do you go make a trade? Like, I get it that that's going to be kind of difficult, but I got some names that, Brandon Ingram, Zach LaVine, Bridges, Murray, Towns. Like, I'm not so high on how you get those guys, but until you get somebody, because watching that game on Tuesday, watching Steph Curry get triple team, man, it don't matter if you bring back Clay and Draymond or not. Until you find somebody else to help consistently, not 30 points on this week, but then you fall off for a month. With Clay and Wiggins, they're too all inconsistent as number two. Until you get Steph some help, all this talk is a moot point. Now, if you want to just bring everybody back to make everybody happy and kumbaya, then fine. I don't think that's going to help you win a championship. So what is the goal? If the goal is to win a championship, you got to get like these other teams, Kyrie and Luka, Jokic and Murray, you know, LeBron and AD. You know, KD got his
yeah, but they got – see, but you have to have – you have to give stuff up. When they got Anthony Davis, they gave up Brandon Ingram, the guy that you're trying
Lonzo
to acquire.
Ball, Jason Hart.
Right, like it was a huge deal. When Paul George got acquired by the Clippers, they gave up Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
And multiple picks.
Right? So like, this is the part where, like, these people don't just fall out of the sky.
No, you got to trade something.
And
you
Kyrie Irving was a unique situation where pretty much everyone in the league didn't want him because of all of the baggage attached around him.
I want to play this. Steve Kerr on Kuminga's areas for improvement this summer.
I think what JK is looking at is how can he make himself more versatile to be available in different lineups? You know, can he be a three? It's a big question. And I don't know the answer to it, but I know that as we continue to help him and he continues to learn how to create spacing and get a shot off a little quicker and be more comfortable catch and shooting, but also making the right reads, because as a three, you handle the ball more. Can he become a better passer? I think he sees the floor pretty well, but his fundamentals in terms of passing have to improve if he's going to play the three.
So that's the situation you're in. You could clear all the guys out, the big three, or you could mix it up and get younger. But is J.K. ready to be that guy as he tries to work out being a three? I think J.K.'s a player. How good of a player? I don't know. I think he's just scratching the surface. There's a lot of things to build on. The mid-range game, his shot selection, I thought it improved immensely over the season. He improved. I mean, he took that third-year leap. And again, he wasn't taking a lot of threes. I think his passing is underrated. He'll have to work on his handles. He'll have to work on his defensive awareness. But that comes last when you're a young player trying to figure out things in the NBA. That's where reps come in. So, but he is due for an extension. And he can get some big money here. So Do you want to clear the books and pay him? Is he the guy to lead this team into the future? I don't know about that, but I also thought this one, Shasky, because I want your thoughts on Kuminga as well as Moses Moody. Moses Moody, why didn't he play? Here's Steve Kerr on that.
We always look at combinations. I think that's the key thing to remember. You know, anytime you think, well, so-and-so needs to play more, if you're making that observation, you have to recognize that we make our decisions on combinations. The game's about five players fitting together. And frankly, there are some combinations that have not fit together, and that limits our ability to play certain guys. And so those are all factors in Moses's development and his prospects going forward. He's a wonderful young guy, and I'm always pulling for him, and I want him to succeed. And but frankly, he needs more opportunity for sure.
Needs more opportunity. What do you think about those two cuts about the youngsters here? Because a lot of people want to see more of Moody. And, of course, J.K., who J.K. saw 30 minutes a game from that point when they lost that Denver game and gave up 25-4 run, lose it.
I hear him on the combinations. I don't know if I subscribe to it. Like, GP2 is out there with some goofball combinations at times. Pod's out there with some wild combinations that I know somebody came up with that I think are crazy. And clearly weren't working. So, I don't know, man.
What do you subscribe to? Because I feel like, and it's okay, because you're a fan. You've been rooting for the Warriors your entire life. But what do you subscribe to when it comes to this organization right now?
I think there's way too much emotion, and there's too much resume, and too much feelings, and too much ego, and too much money. And I just think that they need to kind of hollow this thing out a little in terms of starting fresh.
So you want to bottom out with everything?
Nah, I don't know about everything, but I certainly need to have some more financial flexibility. I just don't think
so people understand flexibility, how... financial flexibility, number one.
And then have all your draft picks moving forward.
Okay.
Because, like, here's a great example. You didn't win anything this year, and you don't have a first-round draft
pick. You don't have a first-round pick.
Okay.
But now it's not the worst thing in the world because... apparently, this draft is one of the worst in NBA history, but I'm just saying. Seriously, like, nobody wants to be part of this draft. But I hear you.
You know, I mean, like, they built the dynasty on draft picks, so I want to see them have some draft picks, right?
No doubt. They just had draft picks. Moody, Kuminga.
Yeah, but because of money. Pool, and status,
Wiseman.
And resume,
Wiseman.
And a variety of reasons, and runway. They didn't like I look at GP2 as a
They tried to reboot it with the draft picks, with Wiseman and Poole, and Moody, and Kuminga.
And you didn't play him. So, like, I look at GP2 as a, and I keep coming back to him. Like, all the guys like GP2, you know, the coach loves him, they trust him. Like, in the grand scheme of where the Warriors want to go, I'm talking about big picture. Like, GP2 is a nice role player, but he kind of stymied some of the young players' development, and then he stymies combinations as we go the combinations route of Steve Kerr, of, like, who you could play alongside of him. And I find him to be a very redundant part. And he is a microcosm of how they've built the show. Kevon Looney. I like Kevon Looney. Kevon Looney's a winning player for a variety of reasons. In a reduced role, you know? But, like, they thought higher of Kevon Looney in the pecking order of how to build a team than I did. And I think because of how top of they were with finances, Kevon Looney became a very important player.
And you know what? He played, but he played well.
He did play well.
This year was not good.
The changing of the guard.
But they pivoted. They pivoted.
They
went to TJD.
They did.
And they found something.
But he had
there.
Less status than some of these other guys.
No doubt. He did.
Status means a lot.
But
with
no, Looney in that locker room gets a lot of respect. Don't underestimate his status with this locker room. Do not do that.
Yeah, but his ego, unlike some of the others, like he kind of as
but he
always,
commands the respect though.
No,
so him not playing and the veterans not seeing him play, they go to bat for Looney. So I don't want to underestimate that. Looney's a key cog in that locker room. He is a key cog. He is that dude. Those youngsters go to him. Jordan Poole went to him all the time. You got the Milwaukee connection with Brandon Podziemski. Don't underestimate Looney's status in that locker room. He's a very important player. So for him to step aside for TJ, it wasn't easy for him. He was racking up DMPs after DMPs after DMPs, and he got dusted off late in the season. Hey, can you defend? And he played well into the season. So, but I do want to see Looney play better. But I don't know, man, what you do here. I don't know what you do.
I just go like this. Like, if you want to play young players, okay? You can have one or two in your rotation, clearly, right? And then you can see if that guy works so that you know what he becomes. It's year three. We're at the end of year three on Kuminga and Moody.
Yeah.
And the coach doesn't know if the Kuminga could be a three.
Well, he said he needs to improve because of the shooting. He needs to improve. That's what the coach said. And you know what? And you know what, though? But you know what, though? What I'm not going to do, because Steve Kerr brought up the passing and Moody and the ball sticking or whatnot, we could watch the game twice over. These guys are watching possessions 100 times over.
Okay.
Single possessions. So they know a little more from whether it's shoot around or playing, watching film, and what they want. Maybe there is some truth to that with Steve Kerr. He's one of the top 15 coaches in NBA history. Much as we love Moody and stuff like that, and then what's going to happen if he has a couple bad games?
There are no perfect players.
Players. I know.
All guys have strengths and weaknesses. Steph Curry's
the one. I wish you would say that about Clay. It feels like Clay has to be a perfect player, but everybody else.
I don't know why you keep coming back to Clay.
Because when you say this stuff, you say, well, Clay only does this and does that. Well, all these players are special team players in.
The conversation, I'm saying, like, if we're going to talk about Kuminga's passing, like, the best player in franchise history throws some of the worst passes I've ever seen in my life. You know what I mean? And I love the guy, but he offsets it with some of the other amazing things that he does. Kuminga does need to work on certain things, but he does offset it with other things that he's bringing to the table. Klay Thompson can't move laterally. He can offset that by shooting. You know what I mean? Like, so I keep coming back to, like, I feel like there are times where there are two different teams. There's the minted guys who can do no wrong, and then there's these young guys who have to jump all of these hurdles to eclipse certain thresholds of playing time.
But Kuminga did get through those hurdles. Kuminga saw 30 minutes a game from January 5th on. He saw 30 minutes a game, and before that he was seeing about 20. Now, he was out of the rotation against the Portland Trail Blazers, and they were down 9, and you know what? Steve Kerr went to him. But Kuminga does need some work. He's got to get better at passing. He's got to get better at slowing down. He was playing too fast early in that Sacramento game. He's got to get better as a team defender. Hell, when he's off the ball defending, he's got to get better there because at times he loses his man. He's got to get better. He does. But Kuminga did see 30 minutes a game since January 5th. And he started a lot of games. Now, we all look at the end of the season and what happened post the tendonitis, but you told me you got to start TJD with Draymond Green. That lineup's working. Kuminga's got to come back. We started taking calls on trade Kuminga. And I was like, why are we talking about trade Kuminga?
But again,
what the hell are we doing around here?
But we also had the, which you and I discussed.
It's just so many mental gymnastics Wiggins, when it comes to this team. It kind of drives me crazy.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's where we're
There's so many mental gymnastics when it comes to JK. Now, Moody's a different story because Moody didn't get the minutes JK did. And that's the conversation. Who is Moses Moody? What is Moses Moody? Do you just give him 30 minutes a game next season without knowing who he is after hearing Steve Kerr say all that? I don't know. Let's go to Pete Cooks in the city. Pete Cooks, what's happening, man?
How you doing, Bonte? Good. I love y'all show.
Thank you.
I'm so proud of you, man. I used to see you at my brother and sister games, Antonio and Tanisha.
Oh, yeah. Pete Cooks. Hey. Yeah. Hey, Pete Cooks. Antonio Cooks may be the greatest high school football player I've seen with my own two eyes. Like, people don't know how good he was. Like, I was a sophomore watching the high school. Coach David Keith, me and my boy Thomas Coleman, would go into that locker room, and Coach Keith would be like, hey, open this. And it'd be a box from Ohio State in the mid-90s asking for Antonio Cooks. Nebraska with Tom Osborne recruiting Antonio Cooks. That dude was special.
Yeah, he wanted to go there. He started having headaches, so he gave up football.
Yep.
But, mid-season, I mean, before the trade deadline, we had a chance to get the boogeyman. See, they trying to make us not a tough team. Now, everybody talking about Draymond, he's the toughest guy in the league. If he can't play tough, I mean, what are we going to do? Now, if we had picked up the boogeyman by the trade deadline, we would have put fear in the whole league. We could still get him for 2 years at the minimum.
Oh, you still think? Oh, DeMarcus Cousins, Pete Cooks. Pete Cooks, I love you. Pete Cooks, I love you. DeMarcus Cousins, I don't know what that does for this team. I don't know what that does. I mean, we watched DeMarcus Cousins guard the pick and roll in 2019 with the Warriors. It was not pretty.
Who's the enforcer on OKC currently?
Right.
This enforcer role, like he's Chris Pronger.
You need
Draymond's going to like take the gloves off.
Basketball's not about enforcers or goons. It's about basketball players.
Not anymore.
It's about hoopers.
Yeah.
Let's go to BPA.
No, but I'm asking, like, who is that guy for OKC? Because you hear that with the Warriors.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, there's our enforcer.
BPA. What's hey, happening, BPA?
No more nostalgia, please. Like, you know, like it's a core of one. I thought the last two callers ago, I think it was. It's all about one guy, and it's Steph Curry, and the other two guys aren't even remotely in the same galaxy as Steph in importance. And, you know, the minute Draymond knocked Jordan Poole out, you don't get to be in the core. The minute Clay, you know, goes 8-for-49 in three consecutive elimination games, you don't get to be on Steph's standing. You just don't. And, like, it's complete denial. And, like, you know, like, it's the inverse of the Bill Walsh method, right? It's like, yeah, Bill cuts him 1 year early. The Warriors cannot seem to, like, move off of who players once were and accept who they are. And so, like, get Steph a second. Get him a running mate. Get him a second star. Every other contending team with a superstar has at least one other superstar with him. Get him a second star or tear it down to the studs. But no half measures. Like, either, you know, be all in. You have a top five player in history and still probably a top 10 player in the league. Every other organization would bend over backwards to give that guy everything, anything and everything he needed to try to win and contend. And the Warriors are like, it seems like they can't move off him fast enough. But, like, yeah, like, give him a second star or move on. Just blow the
Let me ask you this.
You don't want to try.
Let me ask you this. What? With this current team. Calm down. Don't what me. Listen. How are you going to get that second star?
I don't know. Like, I'm not. You know, like, the one limitation they have is
with the way you just talked about. Hold on, BPA. With the way you just talked about the players and the team,
they have enough.
And the team, they have enough to get a second star.
Yes, they have the assets to get a second star.
Okay.
Ramona Shelburne believes in that too, right? They have the assets to go get him. Look at what did Phoenix give up for Beal? Go look. You know, like Chris what Paul. Did you know, like
Chris Paul? And they took out a major contract. And so guess what? Probably, Phoenix misses a point guard. Go figure.
Yeah, but they're in the playoffs and we're not.
Yeah, but they're in the playoffs and they're trying. They're trying.
Are they not?
Right. They're trying.
Go ahead, BPA. So go ahead.
Look, I mean. Yeah, like, you know, like Draymond and Clay are not stars in the NBA anymore, right? And so they need to be stop giving star status to non-stars and start bending over, you know, like start bending over backwards for Steph. Get Steph a number two and a running mate.
So let me ask you this, then. Let me ask you this, then. So trade Kuminga, Moody, Wiggins, and picks?
Yes. Yes, if you have to move Kuminga to get Steph a legitimate second star, just like any other organization in the NBA would do, by the way, right? If Giannis or LeBron or, you know, they would absolutely do it. And, yes, I do think so. I don't know what Kuminga is ultimately going to get up. Do I think he's an all-star? I don't, right? He has not shown the handle or the shooting ability to be an all-star, but, like, whatever. Like, we don't know what he's going to be, but, like, you know, we know what Steph is.
So you're ready. Right. So build around Steph. So if you don't get that second star, tear it down to the studs. That's where we're at. I think a lot of people are there. That's fair.
Yes,
I'm kind of with.
All right, that's fair. Like,
see, that's where I'm.
That's fair. Yeah. But how patient will you be?
For what?
For this team to win again? Because you're gonna be the same guy bitching and moaning a year and a half later about this team's not winning and not trying to win.
No. Don't get me wrong. Huh? I don't want to tear it down. I don't want to tear it down to the studs. Right. I don't.
Yeah, everyone wants to win forever.
You have Steph Curry, right? Who has who played last year with no help, no top tier help at his side, which is, you know, that sucks for a superstar in the NBA to be triple teamed in an elimination game, and not have anyone you can throw it to that can do anything with the ball. That's a shame. And so, yeah, like, I think they should do everything possible to give Steph two more cracks. It's doing something. And if you're not going to do that, then you're giving him no cracks to do something. And then tell Steph and say, hey, we don't want to do this anymore, Steph.
All right, you've been out too
long. You know, Bonte, I want to play this out because, like, let's say the bottoming out part, right? Like, I know everyone wants to trade for a star.
Way too long. I got no answers there.
We would all agree. Like, plan A.
Sorry, I hate to break the narrative.
Plan A, trade for a star to be alongside Curry. Got it. We all want that, yeah. Right? We all want. Like, no one is already, no. Do not acquire a star. Everyone's on board.
And it can't just be any star. No. Like, there's a lot of stars who may not fit together. How many years have we seen that in the NBA? Stars trying to play together. Not every star fits together.
That's not where I'm going. Where I'm going
to say that's. I'm just saying that.
You're asking about patience in terms of rebuilding. I want to ask a different question. How patient would you be if they had the big three and they continued to be 10-11 for the next couple years? How patient are fans then?
Don't know. You tell me.
I don't think you patient at all. I was not patient during the Giants
right.
At the end.
That's what I'm saying. Be careful what you wish for. Well, you want to tear it down to the studs, and then you're not winning for a couple years, and then people start bitching about it.
You're not tearing it down to the studs. You stay with the old guys. You stay with the old guys, okay. But you continue to be under mediocre, meaning not in the playoffs. Like, I don't think we're patient there either. Like, literally, this comes down to just win. That's really the question. So whatever they think their best path to winning is, if it's acquiring a star and they can go that route, boom, you go that way. And if you can't, I actually think the best path of being good again is in the other direction. And I'm kind of with BPA, like, bottom in and out. It sucks. No. We'll all be impatient. But I think I'd rather have that than some, like, four-year retirement ceremony.
All right.
Because the novelty of that will wear off.
Maybe. Sean from Oakland, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, what's up, Bonte? What's up, Chad?
What's up, man?
I'm hearing everything. Shasky, you're right. It's too much feelings going on.
That's
right?
What I'm saying.
And the feeling situation now is
You know what? I don't think so. I don't think there's too many feelings going on. I think a lot of people want to move on from Clay. I think a lot of people want to move on from Draymond Green. I think a lot of fans are wanting to move on. I would be careful with the feelings thing.
Okay, but the thing I'm saying is just like everybody keep on talking about, trade this and trade that. And it's just like, yeah, we're tired of Draymond's antics, right? But it's just like if we trade him, who the heck are we going to get for him, right? And it's like how many years are we going to keep on tolerating the whole situation of him always doing something? Like you missed 27 games and you're still out there cheering step on because they won that game by the bare of their teeth, and you were in the locker room cheering, but you should have been there on the floor being there and playing for him. You see the frustration on Steph's face. So how long is we going to be dealing with to a certain point when Steph's going to be like, you know, y'all not trying to help me, and he make a move himself? That's the thing. Like, we got to be, like the dude said, like, this man went through ankle injuries and dealt with all this frustration already before, won some championships, and now y'all putting them back to the square one again of dealing with frustration. And I'm telling you, in his head right now, just like, I know he loves the Warriors, but it's just like, when is it going to be to a point where Steph's going to be like, you know what, I can't keep doing this.
Go ahead, finish up, Sean. Go ahead. Sorry, my bad.
Oh, no. No, I'm just saying that.
I just derailed that call, but... It's Steve Curtis, because I don't think there's any fans who are advocating for bringing him. I haven't said, hey, bring the big three back. It may be best for the Warriors to move on from Clay. Draymond Green, I don't know what you do there, because you did win 60% of the games, and that's how they're looking at it. Now, again, these podium talks, what Kerr and Dolivier are saying, I don't take them at face value. They're not going to tell us at a podium what their real plans are or what's going through their minds. They can answer the question status quo. Because Dolivier yesterday didn't say much. He just said, hey, we're going to keep our options open as a basketball team because what happened this year was not good enough. It was not good enough. And we spent over $400 million on a team that didn't even make the playoffs. But also, I'm not going to take everything they say about these players at face value because they're not going to tell us the truth on everything. They're not going to necessarily lie. But they're not going to tell us what they're thinking. Why would they tip their head?
No, I think when he was bringing up the emotion and the feelings and stuff, and again, each individual one is natural, but the totality of it, it's a lot of feelings, and you just don't hear this around the league. You know, Clay and his psyche about, you know, off the bench, not off the bench, the contract, this, which is natural, right? Draymond and all the emotional roller coaster of that. JK's emotions throughout the regular season. I'm playing, I'm not playing, I'm telling the coach that I'm out on him. Now I'm playing, then I'm coming back from an injury. Wiggins, is he here, is he not here? What's going on there? Oh, he was friends with this guy. Oh, the pool thing. You know, CP3's feelings. What does he feel like? He can't be happy. Oh, what about his contract moving forward? Like, Each individual one can be explained, but when you throw them all into the basket, it is a lot of emotions. And maybe every single situation is like that, but it's very in your face this year with the Warriors.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I guess. I guess. D Money Hayward, what's happening? D Money Hayward.
What's up, Bonte? What's up, Joe?
What's up, D Money?
What's up, man?
Hey, check it out, man. I feel like, man, everybody talking about Steph Curry need a star and everything about next to him and all this, man. But we had one, man. We had KD, you know, and Draymond messed that off. You know, we had one of the biggest splashes in NBA history, and we would have been running with titles all every year, man. I mean, but I feel like Steve Curry needs to do some soul searching, man, and kind of put players where they need to play and not let these contracts get in the way because, man, it took you three quarters of the year to finally realize that Klay needs to get off the bench, man. And when Klay was coming off the bench, that second team was sometimes funner to watch than the first team. And then when he finally starts hitting for 25, 30 a game, you throw him back in the starting lineup. Why don't you just say you was playing like trash and I got to put you on the bench for a little while?
Well, the problem was, you know, Podzimski hit a little bit of a slump. And then you got TJD in the starting lineup with Draymond Green, and all of a sudden you're playing TJD, Pods, and Draymond Green, and you lack shooting at four spacers. So where is Kuminga going to operate? Where is Wiggins going to operate? That's why you bring Klay Thompson back into the starting lineup, because you needed spacing. When you have a front court that doesn't shoot jumpers in Draymond Green and TJD, the same thing happened against the LA Lakers. They got compromised. Your half-court offense got suffocated. We saw it Tuesday night against Sacramento. That's why you go back to Klay Thompson. Now, did I agree with it? You got to just find. That's what happens when you got a bunch of players who are inconsistent. You got to just every. It's about like every 2 weeks we're going to a new lineup, but that's the product of the team. That's why you're sitting out on the playoffs.
Which is why they need wholesale changes.
Right. Well, maybe they do. I'm here for a change. What's that change? Don't know.
I think it's a variety of changes, and they have to be open to a lot of different things. And the Wiggins is the first domino, I believe, because it's probably one of your better chips that you have in the play. But it's going to be stapled with stuff.
How much value does Andrew Wiggins have with that contract? No, he's got 3 years left at $80 million.
But it's not just
the first round picks
you're stapling to it. Right. It's Kuminga that you're stapling to it. It's Moody that you're stapling to it. It's the other things as well. But it's the value of what $25 million represents in terms of being able to absorb something back.
I hear you. I hear that. I'm just saying, what type of value are you willing to give up Wiggins for nothing? Because if you give up the deal for Andrew Wiggins and just get something back, there's going to be complaints about that. Like, damn, you couldn't get more for Andrew Wiggins. How valuable is he with 3 years left and $80 million on a year where he shot when he had the worst season of his career? He had the worst season of his career.
I just think a lot of people are ready to just see him go. I mean, like the end last year, like really, honestly, the majority of fans, it felt like they were just I'm just going off the field. Just get Jordan Poole out of here. That's what a lot of people felt. I'm not saying it was fair, but that's what a lot of people felt. And I feel like we're at that similar spot with Andrew Wiggins.
Where it feels like we're at that with Klay. We're at that with Klay Thompson. It feels like there's three players at least that we want out on.
You might be right.
I don't know. From the calls, I'm just taking in the input we had.
And I'm sure Kuminga's in there too with a lot of people.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. BPA calls in here and he's talking about trading Kuminga 2 weeks ago. He misses six games and all of a sudden let's trade Kuminga. After we saw him start 29 games and drop 20 a game, and all of a sudden he misses six games. Well, the team is better. The same thing when KD got hurt in the playoffs. Oh, well, now I'm back to Warriors basketball. So I can't keep up with some fans. Keep up with you guys like.
Well, but that's part of
the fan. I can't keep up with it.
But the team doesn't even know what they want. They gave Jordan Poole an extension, and a year later couldn't wait to get rid of him and had to attach a first-round pick and get CP3s.
We kind of know why, though, right? No, we kind of know why.
But Bonte, that's sports. One year, they traded three draft picks for Trey Lance. A year and a half later, he's out of here. That's sports in the modern era. That's not just fans. That's GMs, too. Sports. Zach Wilson was going to be the face of the Jets.
Well, football's different. Football's different. You got a chance to get Aaron Rodgers, and football's more of a year-to-year sport. Basketball, you could build and have a 3 to 5 year window.
How many teams has Kyrie and KD been on in like a three-year period?
Kyrie basically quit on Brooklyn. It's like not playing. You had to move off of
him. But that's not fans.
You know?
That's a player.
Sometimes.
James Harden's been on 50,000 teams.
I get that with James Harden.
LeBron James changes his team in terms of the roster almost every year. every year. That's not fans. That's just sports in the modern
era. He does get rid of the ancillary pieces. He gets rid of the ancillary pieces. And that's why patience with teams, you know, we don't have patience. So that's why I sit back here and say, you sure you want to rip it down to the studs? You sure you want to go through that? If we're not patient and GMs are not patient,
get a star. You know? Option A is get a star. Option B is probably like, man, we might have to just shallow it out. Nobody wants to do it, but sometimes you got to fall on the sword. When you file bankruptcy, you got 7 years where your assets are frozen, and in some cases, it's actually the best decision for someone financially.
But that's why, you know, you bring up Kyrie, you bring up James Harden, you bring up all these guys who are moving. That's why they're not winning games. That's why they're not winning. That's why James Harden has won nothing. Why Kyrie has won nothing. You know? Sorry, outside of LeBron James in the 26th year, that's why he's won nothing. You know what I'm saying? He went to Boston and won nothing. You know, so, you know, you got a championship.
But we're not winning right now. If we were literally coming off of a Western Conference.
I'm saying patience just don't exist in sports anymore.
No.
Whether it's GMs, fans, or anybody. I'm saying to myself, we sure you want to be patient. But when we propose these problems, like, and that's why people who are patient end up succeeding in life. Patience.
I don't know.
I tell my daughter all the time.
I think it did the Niners pretty good. They moved off of Trey Lance. They cooked with Brock Purdy, and they went to the Super Bowl and lost.
And now they're trying to talk about trading Brandon Ayuk as number one target.
Yeah, but they've been very successful. Patience. Like, I mean, moving off of Alex Smith after one
but they
year
were patient.
Very successful.
But the Niners were patient. But the Niners were patient though.
What do you mean?
And the Chiefs were patient. How many people said play Mahomes right away? How many times did we say play these rookie quarterbacks right away?
Alex
I'm like,
Smith
no, chill out.
How many?
The Green Bay Packers have been patient with Jordan Love. How's that working out for them?
A unique one.
You know what I'm saying? That's working out for them.
I'll give you that.
They were patient with Mahomes for a year, let Alex Smith cook. Boom. We're kicking off. We're ready for Mahomes. Patience. The Niners were patient. They were patient with Deebo Samuel. Talk about trade me and pay me. They waited. They got it done. Nick Bosa held out of trading camp. Niners were patient, right?
So then
they
now,
didn't budge.
All of what you said is true. You should be more patient with my takes.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? All I said was, we sure want to rip it down to the studs and you guys want to be patient.
It's not the optimal avenue. The optimal avenue is finding a star. If you can't find a star, you might have to go the other opposite direction, which is not the most wanted path, which is you might just end
up
having to tear it down.
You want to go get a star, yet we would devalue our own damn players. We talk about what Kuminga can't do. We talk about what Klay can't do. We talk about what Draymond can't do. Talk about what Wiggins can't do. Well, if they can't do all these things, well, how the hell are you going to get a second star for these guys?
You always tell me there's always a sucker.
If we don't, our own fans devalue these guys, what do you think the people in Milwaukee think with Giannis? Wait, these people don't think Wiggins is any good. They're going to just drop him off and go get a star? Like, we don't even value our own players with this team. And we expect ourselves to get a star? Who are we kidding? We're kidding ourselves. You don't know Jack, presented by Jack's Restaurant and Bar this week. J.J. Redick doesn't know Jack about staying off of NBA Twitter. You want to run with it? No? You want to break?
Well, we got to do the legal, and then we got to do Jack.
The legal's done. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HC1 San Francisco. Always live with
you guys. Yeah. All right, you don't know Jack.
Joel Embiid gets such a hard time for what is called foul baiting, trying to draw fouls and take advantage of defenders, rules, referees, whatever. It takes an incredible amount of skill and intelligence to draw fouls in the NBA. That time, knew it was the end of shot clock, gave him the head fake, bam, went for it.
What do you mean?
That's a skill.
He gets a hard time, meaning people don't like it?
NBA Twitter, every other game, Doris.
That's your
every
problem.
Other game.
You're reading NBA Twitter. I'd say that might be
it. It comes across my timeline.
We're going to have to stop this somehow.
Oh, boy.
Foul baiting.
Never thought I'd miss Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy in a broadcast. That was You Don't Know Jack, brought to you by Jack's Restaurant and Bar with locations in Pleasant Hill, San Bruno, San Mateo, San Jose, and Newark. You can also order on DoorDash. Learn more at ilovejacks.com. ilovejacks.com. What's coming up in the game? Brought to you by the Inn at the Tides. We're going to get to Fleming for 10 minutes and get right back to the calls in the show with the Warriors. I see everybody out there. Al, Kevin, Daniel, Joe, John, Diane. We see it all here. Boy, it's off season. It's going to be a lot of arguing. It's going to be a lot of passion. But if you want a second star, how the hell are you going to get a second star when you don't even value the players on your own damn team? That's something I will never get with sports fans.
It's always a fun game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.